Hello, hello, it's Andrew from EXO, and today I'm going to be talking about EXO 2.0. Products have versions, why don't companies? I always thought that was kind of strange that companies don't have explicit versioning. Like, things change over time, people change, the company changes, the product changes, you might pivot 18 times, and it's kind of nice to have like a little line in the sand that you say, you know, this was the old us, and this is the new us, and it's a nice way to make abrupt changes. And, you know, I imagine when I had previous companies that were a little bit larger, it would have been nice to have this demarcation and just say, you know, yeah, that was the old way we were doing things, and this is the new way. Typically, the reality is that when you want to make a hard change like that, the only real way to do it is to let people go and bring new blood in. That is typically the path of least resistance towards large changes in a particular company. But I think that if you have explicit versioning and you get buy-in on that, that might be another way to do it with the existing team members. Anyways, first, a lesson. So here's a kind of riddle and a very strange lesson in psychology. So we purchased Growth Bar, and if you've had a meeting with me recently, I've probably, you know, screamed this at you to get your opinion on this too. But so we purchased Growth Bar, and it required a credit card to sign up. So, you know, you put in your email and password, you have to put in your credit card, and it's a 2-week free trial, but you have to put your credit card in there, and then it auto charges once the free trial is over. So there was that, right? That was kind of how it was. And they were blocking India. So any Indian IP, they were blocking it. There was a lot of like spam and stuff like that. So that's what they did. So we've done this a bunch before, right? This is acquisition number 10. We know what we're doing. We have a playbook. We've seen this play out before. We're going to remove the credit card. We're going to open up the app to India. We're going to, and that should increase signups. That should obviously increase the top of funnel. And our assumption was that conversion should increase because that's historically what we've seen. Except the demand dropped to literally zero. I'll show you the charts in a second, but zero, like absolutely zero, like no conversions. There was just churn for 3 weeks. It was an absolute nightmare. So almost without exception, when we buy a new company, I personally still like go in and like break production for at least about an hour. There's just like complete downtime on the application. Usually just I'm trying to understand like how to deploy something or how to fix something or work through the documentation that's been provided, et cetera. But almost always happens. And that's like, you know, I think the team is getting like a little tired of me, like, okay, we buy something. All right, Andrew's going to break it for a while and then we fix it. But when we fix it, we document it and then it usually doesn't happen again. But this is the first time that I've absolutely tanked a new acquisition in the first 30 days of ownership. So an absolute dumpster fire. So if you're watching this, the charts, these are from Stripe. So purple's new customers, yellow is churn. Steady state, you know, we might had like 8 to 10 new customers a day, and some of those would convert. These are just kind of free trials, which Stripe in this context will count as a new customer. So that's that one. It's like, it's looking pretty good. It's net positive, right? There is a growth rate on most months. I think all months except for two in the last 2 years were positive growth. Only 2 months were negative growth, and it was less than 8% if I recall correctly. So then the next image is when we removed the credit card and we opened up the app to India. So signups went like crazy, right? Like we were getting hundreds of signups a week, way, way, way more, because before a signup, right, required a credit card. So a signup was like a really high intent thing. And then of course, when there's just like anybody can sign up, that it doesn't quite mean the same thing as it does when you have to put in a credit card. But I have never seen this where you remove a credit card and basically demand dropped to zero. So the first couple days, right, are the 2 weeks where it's a 2-week free trial. So you got to wait. But this just never picked up. This was week three, and something felt and looked very wrong with the numbers, and we were just bleeding. It was just churn, churn, churn. There were no new customers. So after about 3 weeks, I said, you know, uncle, I've had enough pain. Put it back. So we put the credit card back, sign up back, but we kept India open. And, you know, this is quite recent, so we don't even have more than a week's worth of data, but it's already looking much, much better after putting the mandatory credit card back up. So here's the riddle. Why did this happen? The most plausible explanation is that by forcing the credit card, you're removing choice. So people are exploring a bunch of these tools, right? Because there's a ton of competition now. And by paying, there's something about that stops their search. And they say, this is the tool that I found. This is the tool that I'm going to use. And I'm already paying for it, so I might as well use it. And then they kind of stay, right? You know, whatever, you know, LTV aside, but just sort of that initial point. That's the most plausible explanation that we could come up with. Or the timing of this was crazy and August was going to be a down month no matter what we did. And then the third one is just like, Jesus, God only knows. I have no idea. So if you have any thoughts on this, I'd love to hear them. So the idea that the single largest check that I've ever written in my life is being held up by some kind of psychological factor is scary as hell. This brings me to another point, though, is when I talk to people about XO or people that are thinking about like doing something like us, one of their first thoughts is like, oh, well, if I buy company A, I can take all the learnings and apply them to company B. And then company C gets easier, D gets easier. You know, you can just kind of copy paste stuff. You know, like the Vista, all software tastes like chicken. The reality is, though, it's not that easy. We've done this pricing experiment multiple times. It usually works. Usually works. So my new answer is that we will eventually have a playbook and have already started building a playbook of robust experiments, but they're probabilistic. So we will have to be very cautious about tracking the results across different companies over time. And it is very difficult when you think about that to, if I have a developer product and I'm comparing it to some sales tool, is that even valid to compare those two, even if the pricing experiment is roughly the same? So at some level, yes, right? It's valid to compare those, but in many cases, it might have a completely different outcome in a completely different market. So that is, I think, what our strategy will be in terms of playbook, is not only will we have to have the experiments, but we'll have to sort of, you know, and this is a very interesting topic too. How do you capture sort of like this, the entire state of the company at that time for any given experiment? Otherwise, it's really difficult to tell with any kind of probability what is going to happen if you apply this to another company. So if you can't tell, it's been an exciting month and a half, 2 months over here. All right, so back to XO. So we've been around for about 2.5 years now. The initial group has had 100% turnover. We now only have 4 full-time people, 3 developers, 1 partner, Danny, and then, you know, contractors, agencies, and stuff like that. Last month, we let go of a longtime customer support person, a longtime developer, and those conversations always, always suck. We also shaved $1,000 of our cloud bill. And, you know, we had to pay, right, the engineers on the team to go and do those kind of cost optimization efforts. So all this with letting people go, doing stupid stuff or stuff that feels stupid, like cutting down on costs, is never fun. But as part of XO 2.0, getting profitable is really important to us. And this is kind of our year of efficiency, if you've been following what Mr. Zuck has been up to. And he has done it to tremendous, tremendous results. At the moment, all three partners are fully allocated. So as of today, we've closed the fund. So we've raised just over $500,000. That's before we put in our 10%. So we're looking at deals between $500,000 and $600,000. And we plan on running in the black for the rest of the year. And if we continue holding on to our customer base, we should see some decent growth still for 2023. And then looking good for 2024. So what is XO 2.0? I just put it into 3 bullet points. I started business school last week and I've been kind of like kicking around the idea of a kind of a culture doc, but I only came up with 3 bullet points so far. So one is we're profitable. That one's pretty clear, right? So when we go to buy something, we can use this to filter, should we buy this? Is it profitable? Will it help us get profitable, et cetera, et cetera. Number 2, we deliver excellence. So when a developer submits a PR, they could say, is this excellent, right? Is this code excellent? Is this the right way to do this? Are we cutting corners? When I'm reviewing this pull request, is this done the right way? Or should we spend a little bit more time and, you know, clean up some of the tech debt or spend a little time organizing the code base a little bit better? Is this excellent? It's not good. It's not great. It needs to be excellent. And then showing up for each other, right? So if, let's say, you're struggling to figure out if you should communicate a thing or not, or how to communicate it or when to communicate it, part of that is showing up for each other. So in my view, that means at certain times over-communicating, or if there is bad news or somebody's going through a difficult period of time, you pick up the slack, right? That's what showing up for each other means to me. So I don't think that I'll be writing any kind of Ray Dalio's principles level stuff anytime soon, but you know what? It's all right. Everything starts with an aspiration. Flip fund update, as I already alluded to, we closed the fund this week. over 500,000, which is really cool. We have an email list of like 850 subscribers, and we were able to raise about a little over $500,000 from just 800 email subscribers. And almost everyone that invested was had been reading us and following us for a little while, which is why we were able to have such a kind of high-level, straightforward deck, because I think the people that had been reading our stuff for a good while already had a pretty high level of trust in what we were doing and how we were doing it. And so we were able to raise that relatively quickly. The only real buy box change for this flip fund that we might relax is for our own portfolio, we've been focusing now on product-led growth type companies for a bunch of reasons I've already talked about. But for the flip fund specifically, if we had more of a sales-led motion, I think we might just be able to control our destiny a little bit better in terms of having to double a company in 24 months, right? If you can put your customers on a spreadsheet and go get a yes, no from each one of them, obviously in practice, that's like, you know, a whole thing. But it is nice psychologically to say we sell to dog daycare centers, whatever, and I can put all of those in the US on a spreadsheet, and then I can go and try and reach out to literally every single one. That is a very nice, clear process, at least, relative to product-led growth, where you're running a lot of experiments, most of them fail, some of them work. Even if they do work, let's say, for instance, Growth Bar has one particular landing page that's like a free tool, it's like a metadata generator thing, and that brings in a shit ton of traffic to Growth Bar. But with a product-led growth experiment like that, the next question to ask is like, okay, the experiment worked, we're bringing in traffic, but what's the quality of that experiment? Or what's the quality of that traffic? Does that traffic convert? Are we attracting the right people? You have all those problems. And then what I suspect is partly happening with Growth Bar too is that the traffic that we're getting is not bringing in the right types of people that are our ideal customers. And so that's always a challenge with product-led growth is, yes, not only are you trying to, you know, post short form video across 19 different channels on a daily basis or multiple times a day just to cut through the noise, but then the people that you actually do reach need to also be, you know, pretty well aligned with your value proposition. Otherwise, they're not going to pay. XO's community. So on another note, I've been dancing with this idea, and I'm a huge fan of Cody Sanchez and what she's done with Contrarian Thinking, you know, and then the Contrarian Capital Fund that she's raised from that community, which is awesome. She seems to be like a full-time content creator. I know she has at least now a team, but at a certain point she didn't, right? And so I've been extremely impressed with how she's managed to put all that together. And I'm dancing with the idea that XO could do the same thing. We would just focus on SaaS. So we do have a small community on Discord. There's like, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 people in there now. But it's just pretty useless in there. Like, nobody's asking questions. No one's really getting any value from it. And if you have any suggestions on how to make a community like that more valuable, I'd love your ideas. You know, and I've also been thinking about creating a course, but I have a lot of angst around being one of the people that create courses, even though I consume them and I have no judgment on the people that create them. And sometimes they're utterly useless and sometimes they're extremely valuable. And so, you know, I guess it's one of those things where I just kind of need to either not do it, right, and just find another course of action, or just do it and get over it. But if I do, it'll probably be either free or very cheap at first until I'm convinced that there's a significant amount of value for people out there. So that's it. XO 2.0.